We call this the gift of ministry, and we find ourselves in Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. Tonight we find ourselves in the second section of this study of the spiritual gifts. We call this section the serving gifts. And when it comes to the serving gifts, none are so central to the furthering of God's kingdom than this gift of ministry. If there were ever a serving gift that was so broad in its scope, if there were ever a serving gift that the church could not do without, it's this gift, the gift of ministry. If you would, look at the text with me, Romans 12, beginning in verse 5, where it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering." And that's where we're going to stop, the gift of ministry. And in order to more fully understand this gift of ministry, we're going to look at this gift three-dimensionally using 3D words. The first D word is define. We will first define the gift of ministry. The second D word is diagnose. We'll spend some time in diagnosis to determine whether or not we have this gift. And finally, the third D word is develop. For those who have this gift, we will discuss ways in which we can develop and use this gift. Should come as no surprise that I believe that a majority of Christians here tonight have the gift of ministry. We've all been called to minister. But what does it mean to minister or to be in the ministry? Well, the Greek word, diakonia, this word shares the same root word as our word deacon. And so the gift of ministry is the gift that enables us to fulfill the role of the deacon. Well, what is a deacon? A deacon, this is synonymous with someone who is a servant of a master or a king. You might even say that a deacon is a slave. A deacon is a servant. A deacon is a waiter. A deacon is a minister. And so it's the deacon who does the work of ministry. Now, there are those who out there who claim with pride to be a minister. I am a minister. I wear my collar backwards. I'm a minister. Look at this large cross. I was eating lunch the other day and I watched these guys walk and they were ministers. You could tell they were ministers. I walk into a restaurant and they go, "Smoking?" You know, and I'm like, "No, thanks though." You know, they're ready to serve me a margarita, you know. They don't know that I'm a minister. They think I'm just some guy from, you know, 6th Street or something. I don't look like a minister at all. But when I start sharing Christ with them, it takes them off guard. They don't realize that I'm a minister. These guys walked in. They had the big black robes on, and, you know, they had the backwards collar, and they had the big gold crosses hanging. It looked like Flava Flav, but, you know, in Christianity. I was like, "Wow, man, these guys are hooked up with the bling bling, you know." They were ministers, you know, they floated across the floor and, you know, they were served golden hamburgers and, you know, it was just pomp and circumstance, you know, but who were they serving? Who were they serving? Maybe they're great servants. You know, I can't judge them because of what they had on, of course. Maybe they really served their congregation. Maybe they really love the Lord. I hope so. So I don't mean to pick on them because of their garments. But a minister is not supposed to set themselves apart from the people, raising themselves above the people. A minister is someone who seeks to serve the people, to wash the feet of the people. The word ministry literally means service, especially of those who execute the commands of others. This word also speaks of those who, by the command of God, proclaim and promote religion among men. And so this definition lends itself to any number of public roles in church services or the church roles that where we serve one another. But let's begin first by distinguishing what the gift of ministry is not. Because some of the words that we've been using lately as we've been talking about the serving gifts, it can become a little confusing. Which, well, is this ministry or is this helps or is this, you know, what exactly is this? So let's make a distinction from other similar serving gifts. For example, the gift of ministry is not the gift of helps. The gift of ministry is not the gift of helps. You see, a deacon, a minister, a servant could have the gift of helps and use that while they're serving as a deacon, but it's not necessarily the same thing. The gift of helps has more to do with the behind-the-scenes mechanics of ministry. So maybe it was a deacon who came in and changed the light bulb. Changing the light bulb was the use of the gift of helps. But the deacon, using that gift of helps, has a different ministry when it comes to that deacon role. Making copies for a teacher, that's the gift of helps. Killing the weeds around the outside of the church, that's the gift of helps. Filling holes in the parking lot with concrete, that's the gift of helps. That's not necessarily the gift of ministry, though. The gift of helps has more to do with the mechanics of ministry, taking care of the building, taking care of things, where ministry has more to do with taking care of people. So you understand the difference between helps and ministry now. The gift of ministry also is not the gift of administration. Where the gift of ministry actually takes on a little bit more of the role of administration, but leadership even more so, the gift of administration, or so it's translated, what we talked about last week, is actually understood to be the gift of counseling. So I don't want to confuse you even more, but the gift of administration is actually the gift to counsel. Remember last week I showed that when we translated administration, in the case of the spiritual gifts and in the area that the letter was written to, they understood that word to mean the gift of counseling or wise counsel. Now, wise counsel, that is a people-based ministry. And so the gift is given for people, you know, using it towards people. But the scope of counseling is typically very narrow. You're typically dealing with one person or this family and their issues. So the gift of counseling, the scope of that counsel is very specific and very narrow, typically. While the gift of ministry is very much more broad-reaching. The scope is a lot wider when it comes to the gift of ministry. Well, let's move on. The gift of ministry is also not the gift of leadership. And while we have not yet studied the gift of leadership, we'll come to that in a couple of weeks, what we do have to understand is that the gift of leadership, it's the leaders who oversee the deacons. It's the leaders who are the ones giving the commands to the deacons, and the deacons are the ones that are going and fulfilling and serving and doing those roles. And so we'll talk more about leadership. That's actually the gift of administration. When we get more towards leadership, we'll see how administration plays into that. So the gift of ministry, or the role of being a deacon, has more to do with doing the work of the ministry rather than commanding others to do the work of the ministry. So what is the gift of ministry? Look at, if you would, Acts chapter 6. We'll draw many ideas from Acts chapter 6 this week and when we get to the gift of leadership. But in Acts chapter 6, we see the apostles referring to the ministry of daily food distribution. Read along with me there in Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" Now this word in verse 1, distribution, is the word ministry. It's the same Greek word when we're talking about the gift of ministry. So this word distribution and ministry are synonymous, or actually the same Greek word. Also there in verse 2 at the end where it says serve tables, that word again is ministry. So understand, here we see an example of ministry, the distribution of foods to the widows and the serving of tables. Look down at verse 4. In Acts 6:4, the apostles refer to the Bible study, the time that they're spending preparing Bible studies, studying the Word in preparation. They refer to this as a ministry as well. Acts 6:4 says, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." So understand that the apostles aren't putting Bible study on some greater level than serving tables, distributing food. They're saying that this is not what we're called to. There's two ministries here. They're both great ministries. Let's raise up some guys to oversee this ministry, the serving of tables, the distribution of foods. We are called to this ministry, preparation of Bible studies, so that we can teach the Word. So they're not saying that one is better than the other. They're just saying that we know we're called to this one. So let's find some other guys that are called to that one. Well, moving along, in 1 Corinthians, we see that Paul and Apollos are ministers by whom the Gentiles in Corinth believed. They call themselves the ministers by whom those Gentiles believed. And so the gift of ministry is also used to lead the lost to Christ. Turn to Mark chapter 9, if you would. Because in Mark chapter 9, Jesus describes for us what the one with the gift of ministry will look like. The one who has the gift of ministry, it becomes obvious through their lifestyle. Jesus describes that lifestyle in Mark chapter 9. Mark 9:33 says, "Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed among yourselves on the road?' But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" There's that word minister. "Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.'" You see, the apostles here are arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Isn't that just like us? That we find ourselves spending entirely too much time on things that are really, truly irrelevant in light of heaven? Maybe we're not arguing about who's going to be greatest in heaven, but we certainly do waste our time on things that don't matter in the eternal perspective. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying that the true servants will serve truly. Right? If you want to be a minister, if you want to be first in heaven, then you'll be last here on earth. You'll serve here, and by your service, you become great in heaven. By debasing yourself here on earth, by becoming the slave of all, the servant of all here on earth, you rise in rank when it comes to heaven. And then his example is awesome. It's just incredible. His example is this: a true servant will spend time even receiving children. What does that word receive? Well, that word receive could mean to teach and instruct. Jesus is saying is the one who spends time teaching and instructing children, spends their time in children's ministry, that person is going to become greatest in heaven. So I don't know. Maybe I'll just close shop here tonight and just head back to children's ministry and get the good seat in heaven. But seriously, do you have the gift of ministry? Jesus is saying, teach children. Prove it. If you have the gift of ministry, then become least. Become last. And by doing so, you become greatest in heaven. Now, we shouldn't run out and try to become the least and the last just to become the greatest in heaven, you know, because that's just wrong motivation. You know, we should seek to become the least and last because God has supernaturally given us the gift of ministry, and we can ask for that gift. But ministry can be the time spent preparing to teach a Bible study. That's using the gift of ministry. It can be spent feeding the poor or leading the lost to the saving grace of Jesus. That's ministry. And so let's put a simple handle on what is the gift of ministry. Let me give you a simple working definition of this gift of ministry. The gift of ministry is the supernatural empowerment to serve God in public roles, both inside and outside the church. I'll give that to you again. The gift of ministry is the supernatural empowerment to serve God in public roles, both inside and outside the church. That's the gift of ministry. So the question is, do you have it? Do you have the gift of ministry? Well, let's ask some diagnostic questions. Let's ask these questions to find out, do I have this gift? My first question is this: are you a people person? Are you a people person? Do you like to hang out with others? Do you look for opportunities to spend time with friends or with family? If you do, if you're a people person, then chances are you have the gift of ministry. You're hardwired, designed by God to be a minister. The second question is this: do you find yourself at the end of the food line? What I mean by that is this: you're at a retreat, you're at a potluck, you're somewhere where there's lots of people and there's food and you can get in line to get that food. Do you find yourselves waiting until everybody else has walked through before you walk through and get your food? Do you want to make sure that everybody else has gotten a plate before you get your plate? If that's you, it's possible that you have the gift of ministry. How about this question? Would you rather follow orders than give them? Would you rather someone else just tell you what to do? You don't need to see the big picture. You don't need to understand all the workings of ministry. You just want your little niche. You just want to do this little thing, and that's fine with you. You just want to be told what to do and how to do it, and you're happy just to do that. Maybe you have the gift of ministry if you like that. You don't need to know every part of ministry. You just like doing your part. Well, how about this? Have you ever thought about volunteering in a soup kitchen or some other area of service like that? Maybe you actually have gone and volunteered in a soup kitchen. Maybe you have a heart for those who are less fortunate than you, and you don't mind getting your hands a little dirty to go and help them out. If that describes you, then it's possible that you have the gift of ministry. How about this? Do you look for opportunities to share your faith? Or maybe you have a strong desire to share your faith, but right now you're trying to overcome the fear that you have of that. If that describes you, then chances are you have the gift of ministry. But take out your little yellow sheet right now. Because if you said yes to several of those questions, or even all those questions, if you said yes to all those questions, then look at where it says the gift of ministry, and over to the right there's numbers 1 through 10. Circle a 10 if you said yes to all of those questions. If you said no to all those questions, then circle the 1. But maybe you're somewhere in between. Figure out where you are on that list and circle that number, and we'll continue on. At the end of this study, we're going to pick the three gifts with the highest scores, and we'll write those into the bottom. And it'll give you a good understanding of what gifts you probably have. But for those of you guys who are circling a 5, a 6, a 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere, 5 and above, let's talk about developing that gift. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to give you guys two simple things to do in order to develop this gift of ministry. The first is to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus' own example. And in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, or actually at the second half of that verse, it says, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see the example that Jesus sets here. He is setting the example of what it means to have the gift of ministry. If anybody had the gift of ministry, it was Jesus. And the example that he sets for those of us with this gift of ministry is that we're not here to be served, we're here to serve. That's the example that Jesus sets. And so if you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on that list, and you're still looking for people to serve you, it's time to change gears now. It's time to understand that God has gifted you to be a minister. He's gifted you to be a servant. And it's time to stop looking to be served. And it's time to start looking to serve. To serve others. To minister to others. To become the slave of others. And you know, to the fleshly mind, we say, no, I'm not going to be anybody's slave. I'm not going to be anybody's servant. I'm not going to be anybody's minister. The fleshly mind wants to reject that altogether because it doesn't play into what we really want, which is for others to serve us. But the spiritual man grows and is blessed and becomes closer to God when they will kill their flesh and the desires of the flesh, and they will begin to serve others by the power of God according to the gift of ministry. You will grow closer to God than you would ever have imagined. Your joy will become full when you fulfill your ministry. Your life will become fulfilled when you choose to serve others. Look at the secular research. Secular research even shows that those people who choose to use their time to volunteer to help out others are happier than the people who are self-centered and just always seeking to be served. The people who, in a secular world, find areas of volunteer and find ways to serve others are more fulfilled in their secular life than those who sit around and are always thinking of themselves. Actually, the people who are most depressed are the ones who are waiting around for people to serve them. And the people who are happiest in a secular sense are those who are actually volunteering their time and serving others. So it's the way God designed us. So I want to help you understand that if you want to experience the joy of the Lord, learn to serve others. Learn to put yourself last, God first, and everybody else in between. That's what it means to fulfill that role of deacon. That's what it means to be a deaconess. That's what it means to exercise the gift of ministry. But the second point is this. So the first point is consider Jesus. Consider his example and then follow it. So the second one only follows the first point. Plug in and serve. It's all you got to do. Plug in and serve. Every week, after Wednesday night service, there's leaders up here in the front who are ready to pray for you guys. Take note of who those people are. There's some women leaders over here. There's some men leaders over on this side. The guys who are up here who are leading are the guys who actually oversee the leaders of all the ministries of this church. You want to know how to get plugged in? Come talk to some of these guys. We'll get you plugged in. We'll give you an area to serve. No problem, no questions. There are people, ministry leaders, who have been praying for you, waiting for you to come and get plugged in. There are no shortages regarding the opportunities available to you to develop your gift of ministry. You will not approach a leader here at the church saying, I'd like to serve. Show me where I can serve. Give me anything. I'll do whatever you guys need. You're never going to hear a leader say, no, you know, I just don't think so. I just, you know, you're not really cut out for doing these tasks. It's never going to happen. They're going to say, yeah, come on board. Let me give you guys some stuff. So there's no shortages of opportunities to develop the gift of ministry here at Calvary South Austin. The only thing that's standing in between you and developing your gift of ministry is you. You're the only one stopping you from developing that gift, just so you understand that. So my encouragement is plug in and start serving. Just go for it. Just commit yourself to the ministry and watch what God does with your life. Well, there's children's ministry, there's media ministry, there's the outreach tomorrow night that you can get plugged into. There's greeting and ushering, there's the worship team. Just plug in and serve. That's all it takes to develop the gift of ministry. And I'll talk more about my own story when we get to the area of leadership so that I can give you the full story. But when I got saved, I just started rolling cables on stage. We had a church where, you know, we were in the Seventh-day Adventist church, and we came in on Sundays and Wednesdays and had to take all of our stuff back out. And when I got saved, I knew how to roadie. I'd roadied tons of concerts, you know. So I just jumped up on stage and, you know, eventually started helping out, just rolling guitar cables and moving monitors and stuff like that. That's the gift of helps. From there, I ended up becoming a leader or a teacher in children's ministry underneath a leader. And there was the gift of ministry at work right there. God was using me to help teach junior high kids. And that gift of ministry took off. And eventually that led into the gift of leadership. And so that's how I am where I am today, is because I just started exercising the gift of helps. And then God gave me the gift of ministry because I was faithful with the gift of helps. You see how that works? And when I was faithful with the gift of ministry, he gave me the gift of leadership. And just so on and so forth. So plug in and begin to exercise your spiritual gifts. It's that simple. It's that simple. And you'll see that you're the one that ends up blessed by blessing others. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this time that we get to